line two. You're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
You're in Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to relate an experience I had, but first I'd like to see if I can jog your memory. The last time I called in was a year or so ago, and you had put out a question over the air, and I think it's somewhat apropos tonight also. The question that you put out was that night was, what do you think the purpose of life is?
That's right.
And I my call to you was a story that was related to me, and I told you at the time I wasn't sure I believed or accepted it. Is that we were, this is where I want to see if I can jog your memory, we were all gods and goddesses, and we had everything and could do everything, and so we decided to play a game, and the game was called life, and part of the rules of the game.
I remember.
Yeah, okay.
You're right. The question and tonight's topic go together very well. Go ahead now.
Some years ago, in the late 60s, I was living in Los Angeles, and I made a couple of acquaintances. They had a small business going. One was a writer, the other was a printer, an artist, and they had made up copies of a poster that they came up with. And in our dealings, they asked that would I sell the poster for them. I agreed to, and for a while I sold it around the Los Angeles area to bookstores and so on. And then they suggested, why don't you make a trip to the Bay Area, to San Francisco, and see how it'll go up there. It was during the time of the Haight-Ashbury thing. It was during the hippie days.
Oh, I remember the time.
And so I agreed to make the trip, and I went up there, and the evening that I arrived in San Francisco, before I decided to get a hotel room, I decided to eat in a restaurant, and then after that I went to a piano bar. I thought I'd just kind of rest for a while and listen to some music, and a fellow sitting next to me at the piano bar and I got to talking, and I let him know that I was up from L.A., and he said, well, you don't have to get a hotel room. There's a house that I know of that isn't being occupied right now, and I've got the key, and you're welcome to use it. I went to the house, and it was on a street of the old Victorian homes that are so frequent in San Francisco. This was about the middle of the block, and it was the only one in the whole row of Victorian homes on that block that was set in from the others. I thought that was interesting. I went up the porch and unlocked the door and turned on a light and went inside.
Right.
But as I entered, I got a very uneasy feeling in my gut. And as I got further into the place, into the house, that feeling got stronger. And I just figured, oh, well.
Uneasy as in you shouldn't be there?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, listen, we're short on time, so.
Oh, I wanted to get the story out. Anyway, so I walked into the kitchen, and which is all the way in the back, and there were multi-windows and a window door, and I opened the door and was going to step out, and I paused, and I looked down, and there were no stairs, and it was about 10 feet straight down. I then proceeded into the living room, and I've got a much more uneasy feeling.
We're about to run out of time.
I went up the stairs slowly, and I got to the head of the stairs. There were two bedrooms. I could not enter either of the bedrooms. I just had to leave. It became unbearable to be there, even though my mind was saying, there's nothing wrong here, there's nothing wrong here. I just couldn't stay. It was extremely uncomfortable.
All right, we're going to have to hold it there. Thank you very much for the call, and good morning. Have you ever had that happen? Something inside of you so strongly compelling you to leave, telling you that something is urgently, terribly, profoundly wrong. Good morning. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Morning, Art Bell.
Yes, where are you calling from,
please? This is Pavo.
Pavo in Canada. Yes, you have something that relates to all this, Pavo?
Yes, I do.
That's amazing. All right, let's hear it.
Usually, people that enter into my domain receive an eerie feeling when they see all of the murals and...
I can only imagine what your area looks like, Pavo.
But there's one room in my house that is a shrine to you-know-who.
Hitler.
Yes. And when you walk in, the presence is so strong that the power, you feel the power.
Thank you, Pavel. That is Pavel, who is in Canada. He's up in the Edmonton area, I believe. And Pavel is a Nazi. And he really is a Nazi. And he was talking about what he does now. And his shrine, I don't have to be there to imagine what it is like. And I can easily imagine that it imparts the exact feeling that he was just talking about. Eerie. Wildcard Line 3, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Bell, calling from Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, yes, sir.
Just a real quick story, not quite as heavy as most of them, but I guess I was about 2 years old. My father told me about this. I had a favorite uncle, and I can't really remember his name right now because, again, I was 2 years old. But, well, let's call him Uncle Joe. So I guess out of the clear blue sky one day, I wanted to go see Uncle Joe, and they said, no, it's too far away. It's about a 100-mile drive or something. This was back in the 50s, and I guess I had a fit, according to my father, and I just had to go see Uncle Joe, you know. So they decided that weekend to go see Uncle Joe, so we went up there and had a nice visit, and then a couple weeks later he died, you know. So then, you know, a short time later, say a couple months later, I wanted to go see another relative, and of course they didn't die, but my dad said they just about went crazy because they were afraid that something was going to go wrong with this relative.
In other words, they figured that you had some precognitive.
Yeah, they said after the first time they figured they were afraid of bring up anybody's name. So it's just a short little story.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Get off the air because you get a lot of good stories. I don't want to.
Yeah, they've been some. There really have been some tremendous.
Excellent show.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to go see Uncle So-and-so. Quickly, call him, tell him to stay in bed today. I don't think it works like that, though. Do you? I think that things that are going to happen, happen. Don't you? Or do you think that that with the help of somebody who's been around before, some things that might happen otherwise would not or can be avoided? Like the lady with the story about the brakes. Line 3, you're on the air. Hello, line 3. No, you're not. Wild card, line 3, you're on the air.
Card?
Yes.
I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Welcome to the program.
All right. I was wanting to tell you a story here that happened to me about 3 years ago.
All right, go right ahead.
All right. I was staying with some friends, and my mom lives up here in Anchorage, or in King Salmon. And she was telling me that she had a bad dream or whatever about me getting in a wreck over the weekend. And I was like, well, you know, just you know, shrugged it off or whatever, didn't think about it. And sure enough, the weekend came around, and I got in a really serious motorcycle wreck.
Oh.
And was in the hospital for a long time and everything, and she was in the hospital, and she was like, you know, she just couldn't believe that it actually happened or whatever. And she was sitting there trying to explain to me what really had went on that night, that she had the bad dream. And she said that someone had actually came to her that night while she was asleep or whatever and woke her up. She didn't know who it was, no face or nothing, or any kind of, and told my mother that I was going to die at the end of the week.
Really?
And she told me I was just supposed to get in a wreck or whatever, just to try to be careful. And she didn't tell me I was going to die. She just told me I was going to get in a wreck. And she was like, tell me what.
Why? If she would tell you that, I'm curious. If she would tell you, be careful or you're going to be in a wreck, and she would go to all that trouble to caution you about that, why wouldn't she give you the original message and try to warn you away or try to change what was to be?
I really don't know. I'm just assuming she didn't probably want to worry me or scare me or whatever, because see, she's had these, I'm not saying she's psychic or nothing, but she'd done the same thing to her real father. Her real father was really deadly sick down in Florida, and no one knew anything about her. So she called down to talk to one of her sisters to go tell him to check on him. And sure enough, he went there. They went to check him out and everything, and he was, they found him on the floor, you know, and he was not in the greatest health or whatever. And It's just been a couple of weird coincidences or just something that's definite. She's definitely got some sort of weird powers. Not power, but just some sort of gift, I guess, or something.
I take it any similar caution given now, you would really...
Most definitely, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
You take care from the state of Alaska. Line one, you're on the air.
Oh, it's me?
It's you.
Oh, hi. My name's Don. I'm a first-time caller.
Hi, Don.
And I'm coming from Vegas. I used to live out there in Pahrump, I have two quick stories, and both of them happened while I was living out there.
All right, go right ahead. It is a strange place.
Yeah. One of them, the first one is I was dating this girl in St. George, and I happened to be there late for one weekend, and I had to be back in Pahrump for work the next morning, but I was there too late, so I stayed the night at her house in their guest bedroom, and I had already gone to sleep. You know, the doors were shut and the lights were off and everything,
right.
And for some reason I woke up and I looked towards the door, and I could see, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 people looking in at me. So I rubbed my eyes and I thought, you know, I was seeing something, and after I rubbed my eyes, I saw someone standing next to me in the bed. And you know how you can see, even though it's dark, you can still kind of see him.
Yes.
He had, I could tell he was blonde. And I was about to say something to him, ask him what he's doing, because it didn't appear to me that he might be a spirit.
Yes.
And just before I started to talk, he proceeded to fall on top of me. And I jumped back, and...
So you felt the physical presence?
No, I didn't feel it. I jumped back because I thought someone was going to fall on top of me. And as soon as he was about to fall on top of me, he disappeared.
And that was in Pahrump?
No, that was in St. George.
All right, and now you've got a story about Pahrump.
Yeah, I used to play football out there in Pahrump. I graduated in 82. I think I was a junior at the time.
All right, listen. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to do a newscast, and I'm going to come right back to you.
Okay.
All right, stay right there. And he's got a story about my hometown, Little Pahrump, Nevada, which I'm sure in large numbers is listening this morning. So all of you out in Pahrump, get ready, because here comes a story that comes from right there in town. It is a very odd place, and in Pahrump, Nevada, which is Nye County, there are brothels, for it is a legal business there. And in one of those brothels, there has for years and years and years been a ghost named Harold. We'll be back.